ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तस्मिन् स्वं रामाय स्पृष्टो रामनो श्रुत्वा स्मृति तत् सङ्गद् ईदृशीं प्राप्तो दशम पपीयसीं प्रभो तस्मिं स्वं रमः स्पृष्टो रामनो श्रुतस्मृतिः तत्सङ्गादिदृशीं प्राप्तो दशं पापीयसीं प्रभो तस्मिं स्वं रमः स्पृष्टो रामनो श्रुतस्मृतिः तत्सङ्गादिदृशीं प्राप्तो दशं पापीयसीं प्रभो तस्मिं स्वं रमः स्पृष्टो राममानो श्रुतस्मृतिः तत्सङ्गादिदृशीं प्राप्तो दशं पापीयसीं प्रभो
in that situation, Twam, you,
Ramaya,
with the woman, Sprishtaha,
being in contact,
Rama Manaha,
enjoying
Ashruta Smriti,
without remembrance of spiritual existence.
Tat,
with her.
Sangat,
by association.
Idrishim,
like this.
Prabha,
you have attained.
Dasham,
a state.
Papiyasim,
full of sinful activities.
Prabhu,
my dear friend.
Translation
and purport by His Divine Grace of Vaicharanada in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear friend, when you enter such a body, along with a woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. Because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions. Please repeat.
My dear friend,
when you enter such a body,
along with the woman
of material desires,
you became overly absorbed
in sense enjoyment.
Because of this,
you have forgotten your spiritual life.
Due to your material conceptions,
you are placed in various miserable conditions.
When a person becomes materially engrossed, he has no capacity to hear about spiritual existence.
Forgetfulness of spiritual existence entangles a man more and more in material existence.
Such is the result of sinful life.
Various bodies are developed with the material ingredients because of the different types of sinful activities. King Puranjana assumed the body of a woman, Vaidarbhi, as a result of his sinful activities.
Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Sriyo Vaishas Tatha Sudraha,
that such a body is low-born. If one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, he can be elevated to the highest perfection, even though he be low-born. One acquires lower births when one's spiritual intelligence is reduced.
O Magyan Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshura Meditandina Tashmai Shri Elimha.
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karaka Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So here,
This is the Guru who now is approaching Vaidarbhi.
Paranjali. Who is it? What's her name?
Vaidarbhi?
Okay. Yeah, Vaidarbhi.
And her Guru is approaching, and now he's giving her the basic instructions. So this is the very beginning of spiritual life. When one learns how there are two existences, there's a spiritual existence, there's a material existence. And when a person becomes too absorbed in material existence and material enjoyment, then he loses his spiritual existence. In practice, there is no possibility of understanding spiritual life. He said, Prabhupada said, you have no capacity to hear about spiritual existence because of your absorption in material life.
uh,
Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita that some look upon the soul as amazing, some hear of him as amazing, some speak of him as amazing. But others, even after hearing all about him, they cannot understand him at all. So some people, it just doesn't register that there is another existence going on here other than this material existence that we're identifying with so strongly. There's not a whole other existence that is is going on here. Whatever we see now and whatever is going on now is simply a superimposition on spirit. Actually, spirit is the background of everything. We are resting in spirit. Everything is resting in spirit. But we're just seeing the superimposition. It's resting on the spirit, but we never see the spirit or feel the spirit. Because of our complete our intelligence and consciousness is completely absorbed in the material actions and reactions. So this is the beginning of spiritual life, the Guru's instruction, that there is how the living entity is bound up in the material world and how he must come to Krishna consciousness to get free from this entanglement. So this is the business of the spiritual master, to give self-realization to the living entities. So Prabhupada said that self-realization, you understand in three aspects, just as you understand Krishna in three aspects, as Brahman, as Paramatma and Bhagavan. Vedanti tattvatas tatyama vriyam brahmaniti paramatmati bhagavaniti sabjati. You can understand Krishna in three aspects. One of these, Brahman, all-pervading presence as the super soul sitting in the heart of everyone, and his feature as Bhagavan. So similarly, one can understand himself in three features. The Prabhupada said, first you can feel yourself as Brahman. You can feel your Brahman existence, your identity as Brahman. So that's like Brahman realization. Krishna is Brahman. So you can feel yourself as Brahman, as distinct, different from this body. Not just by saying, I'm not this body, but actually experiencing what you are, not what you're not. And then Prabhupada said, then you can realize yourself in the heart, localized. It's like the Paramatma is a localized in situation everyone's in. He said, you can realize yourself as localized. He said, by meditation, you can see yourself as being egg-shaped and glowing, localized. And then, by further devotional service, then you can actually realize your swarup, your actual spiritual form, and your relationship and engagement with Krishna. So that relates to like Bhagavan realization. Like father, like son, the same qualities as Krishna. So Krishna is revealed, understood through three features. Self-realization is also understood through three features. You see, the Gyanis are just simply interested generally in the Brahman aspect. The Yogis are interested in the Paramatma aspect, and the Bhaktas are interested in the Bhagavan aspect. So you can expect there is different results. They're all transcendentalists and they're all after Krishna, the different features. But by the different activity, you expect a different result. So the Gyanis are approaching Krishna to understand Brahman, so they get Brahman. The Yogis are approaching Krishna to understand the Super Soul, so they get that realization. And the devotees are approaching Krishna for serving, and so they get realization of Bhagavan. So that's not yet Mad Jatapat, the famous Bengali saying, all paths lead to the same goal. No. Whatever path you take, whatever activity you get, you get that particular result. So, here now the body is being developed, material existence means, because of material desires. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that there's this material world, earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, ahankara.
these different elements are there. And but besides this, there is a superior energy. What is that? Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho, the jiva. Actually, it's the soul within, superior than the other different elements that the body is made of. There is another element, Turiya, beyond this material element. It's a spiritual element. It's an element also. It's not some. It is something very tangible, spirit. It is not something that. It's an imagination. It's something very, very tangible. It's the fourth dimension. It's called Turiya. Adoksaja. It's beyond our material experience. We are experiencing three stages of consciousness. When we're awake, so-called awake, like now we're acting and we're conscious of this existence. And then we go to sleep at night and we dream. So there's another state of existence in the dream world. The body isn't inactive, but some whole activities are going on in the dream world. So it's another state of existence. And there's another state of existence called unconscious, or very deep sleep. No dreams, nothing has happened. So that's another state of existence. Because when you wake up, you said, I had such a good sleep. I feel so great. That means you were conscious that you wasn't dreaming, or you were conscious that you just had a peaceful night. So these three stages of consciousness that we can experience now. But there's another state beyond that, called Turiya, the fourth dimension. Which we cannot experience in our present conditioned state. But by the practice of, especially bhakti yoga, then as the elements become purified, then we can actually realize the fourth state, that is the transcendental nature that is the living energy. So, Jetodharpanamajanam, it's understood at that point. When the heart is clean, then you can actually experience it. Now it's covered. It's in the heart, everything is there, it's in the heart. The soul is there, Krishna is there. The relationship is eternally established. But it's all covered now. So Jetodharpanamajanam. Clean the mirror of the mind by the process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And when the mirror is clean, then you can see yourself. When the mirror is dusty, then you can't see anything. When you clean the dust, then you go nice and clean. So this is the beginning of spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement begins at this point. He's only left 8 slokas, Shikshastikam. Very important. The first one is beginning from this very point. Chaitodharpanamaj. First clean your heart, otherwise you're not going to understand anything. If you don't understand who you are, how do you expect to understand anything else? So first understand who you are. Then you can understand Krishna. Then you can understand relationship. Then you can understand what is exchange, love of God. So this is actually Sambandha, the beginning. Chaitodharpanamaj. When the heart is clean, then you've got connection with spirit. Now I'm feeling that fourth dimension. That's where all the activities are going on, the spiritual activities going on in this realm. So at least you've contacted the realm. Just like here, Navadvip Dham, this is the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. We know that. The eternal pastimes of Gauranga are going on here. It's Chintamani. There are palaces and gems and touchstones. Bhishma Panchakam. Bhishma Dev. He stays here actually in Navadvip. Did I tell a story last week? No? Yeah. So Bhishma Dev stays here in Navadvip. When he was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he was laying on the bed of arrows, you know this picture, you see Bhishma with the arrows going through him and he's laying down. Prabhupada said it's not like that. Because Vishnudeva is a great Vaishnava, Mahajan. Who would tolerate to see someone with the arrows? But what it is, the Kshatriyas, they make a bed for him. They fire arrows in the ground, hundreds of arrows. And they lay the Kshatriyas on that. It's not that they're piercing the body. That's the Kshatriya's bed, very glorious for the Kshatriya to lie on the bed of arrows. Of course, he could leave when he wanted to. Bhishmadeva, he had a boon that he could leave when he wanted to. Mahabharata says he was waiting for the sun to pass in the southern into the northern. You know, the light half of the year and the dark half of the year. Auspicious that even the light, right? The light year, the light fortnight, the light. So Mahabharata said he was waiting for the sun to change course, to go into the light phase. So it was auspicious. But actually, Vishnu was waiting for Krishna to come. That's why Krishna came when the light period came. And Krishna instructed him. And he instructed Yudhisthira. And on that, and Yudhisthira, he told all those different dharmas and things like that. Well, Krishna, when Vishnudeva was lying there, he said, when you were a young man, he said, you came to Janudvipa, Janamuni. He took instruction from Janamuni in Janudvipa, across the Ganga. Janamuni, he was the one who drank the Ganga, one gulp, because she was coming down from the heavenly planets with King Bhagirathi and ferocious, making a big, and he was in meditation. She washed his ashram cup away, so he's a little bit disturbed, so he sucked up Ganga, completely stopped everything. Bhagirathi Maharaj, where is Ganga? So anyway, then he released her through his thigh. So she's called Janabi. She's considered the daughter of Janamuni because she was appeared again from him. And Bhishmadev is the son of Gangadev. So they have a relationship. So he came here to see his relative and took lessons from him also. And Krishna said, because you did that, you visited Navadvipa. It's a very, very special dear abode of mine. So when you leave, when you leave your body, you'll also get a body to serve in Navadvipa. So Bhishmadev stays at Bhishmatila, just next to Janamuni Ashram in Janudvipa. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the Navadvipa Bhavatranga that he has a spiritual body. He has Siddhasarupa, he has the same blackish body like Krishna. Two arms. In Navadvipa they all have two arms. Blackish body with tilaks, 12 tilaks, Kunti Mala, Chandra, Chapa Mala, Bhakta Bhishma. And he gives Bhaktivinoda Thakur many instructions. He tells how this is actually a whole spiritual realm. There are billions of living entities here, all spiritually engaged in their constitutional service to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and performing kirtan. But as long as your intelligence still sticks to material identifications, this will not be visible to you. So if you cannot see the splendor of the Dharma, it's understood that your intelligence is still sticking to material identifications. This is our disease, what it's talking about here. You forget your identity and you identify material. And therefore the Dharma is covered, or the spirituality is covered. But there is a whole happening here, and there's a film of Maya over the Dharma. Again, like a superimposition on the Dharma. So it looks like an ordinary place. So, to get through that, you have to become clean, pure by the heart, then you can actually enter into the Dharma at the beginning of spiritual life, the Sambandha. Bhishma, simply by visiting Navadvipa, that's the only qualification Krishna said. You visited Navadvipa to see your relative. Simply because of that, now he stays here eternally. And of course, Bhishma Dev, he is in the Rasa of Chivalry. Prabhupada said there's a planet called, an eternal planet, called the planet Parthasarathi Loka. And those with chivalrous spirit, they go there. So they go out in chariots for rides and things that manly stuff. And I don't think there's any wars there or anything. But they're all in the Kshatriya spirit. There's a whole planet like that. So you have that spirit, chivalrous rasa, you can also go to Parthasarathi Loka. Or you can get a form like Vishnudev. So you get two forms, according to your relationship. The devotees of Gauranga, generally they get two forms. Gauranga and Krishna. If you're just the Gauranga Bhakti, you'll get a form in Navadvipa. If you're just Krishna Bhakti, you get the form in Golok. If you're a Krishna Bhakti through Gauranga, then you get form in Navadvipa and the form in Vrindavan to serve. So there's a whole realm of spiritual realms going on, but we're on the covering. It's like this is just a superficial superimposition, but we're identifying with it so strongly it becomes very difficult to become free from it. That's right. Krishna says earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, ego, and beyond that there is a living entity, Jivan Bhuta Mahabaho. Is that the verse? There is another nature which are all the living entities who are sustaining the universe, Prabhupada says, at least in the old Gita. They are sustaining the universe. How we are sustaining the universe, I thought that was Paramatma's job, but he doesn't even maintain. Sustain. But Krishna says the living entities, and they are these jiva bhutas, they are sustaining the universe. So how does it sustain? Sustain by the desire, by the desires of the living entity. Because we desire, we have many desires to to engage and reciprocate with this material's identification, it's created so many desires. Therefore, they sustain in the universe, because if there's no desire, there's no need for a universe. It's only because we have desires that this material universe is existing. Otherwise, there's no purpose of the creation of this universe. Certainly not for Krishna's pleasure. Whenever he comes here, whatever he does, wherever he does and wherever he goes, he has pleasure, but he certainly doesn't create a material world to come and to come and perform his pastime. That's already going on. He's got billions of Vaikuntha planets and Goloka. Bigger than all the Vaikunthas put together is Krishna Loka, so there's no lack of space or anything. Then he has to create another place for enjoying. No, this is for the living entities. They want to enjoy, they want to exploit, they want to imitate Krishna. Krishna gives them their world, but still he kindly comes also to give us a little wake up, little call. You're in the wrong place. So like this, the living entities, they sustain the universe because of desire. Because of their desire, it's happening. If there's no desire, it doesn't happen. Third canto speaks about this creation. The creation is, the living entities are glanced into the Mahatattva, but nothing's happening because there's no modes of material nature. Nothing's happening. The three modes of material nature are moving everything, but they haven't become manifested yet. The jiva is there in its pure form, in Vasudeva consciousness, because there's no material consciousness at that time. He has a choice at that time. He's awakened from Vishnu, he's out again, but he's in Vasudeva consciousness. She has a choice. She can choose to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said Krishna gives you three warnings, three chances. Don't go to that material world, don't go. Whether they're at one time or different times, but somebody indicated that this could be one of the times, they could be separate different locations. And one of them is at right at the beginning of the recreation of the world. The living entity is here, but it's in a pure state. And there's nothing material manifested, because the material modes are unmanifested. So at that time, actually, because he's in Vasudeva consciousness, pure consciousness, he could revive and go back. But then, the next appearance is the Ahankara. The Ahankara is coming. It's a dictation from Shankarshan, Lord Shiva. It's Shankarshan Shakti. The dictation gives you that Purusha Bhava, that I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. And the living entity, oh yes, that's what I want. That's what I wanted. So then, boom, the Ahankara is covered. That's it. So now you have a consciousness to be the controller and enjoyer, and then you're covered by Ahankara. Now the field is set. So then, the whole universe is created simultaneously. Prabhupada said, just like you rolled out a carpet, everything is there. Nice designs and everything on the carpet. He said it's all simultaneously, just like rolling a carpet. You don't ask someone when you go in their room, where did you start to unroll your carpet? Everything is, and the living entities, then they begin exactly where they left off, the same consciousness. So, then the three modes of material nature, now there's something to do, because the living entity now, he has a desire, he wants to control, he wants to enjoy, there's got to be something to control and enjoy. So then the material modes of nature come into play, three modes become active. And then everything starts to happen, and the whole creation is made. So Prabhupada says it's just like you have three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. So you've got three colors, you mix them, red and yellow comes green. Blue, orange, and then blue and yellow become green, and another one becomes purple, isn't it? So then you've got... So 3 into 3, and then you get 9, then you multiply them, 9 into 9 is 81. So this permutation, Prabhupada said, if you go on, it permutates how many mixtures of these, it comes out to 8,400,000. So therefore, 8,400,000 species of life. So different, or 800,000 different desires, a living entity. So there's a species of life you can have to suit your particular desire. 8,400,000, not 8,400,001, 8,400,000, everything is very regulated by Krishna. So we have a big choice. So you can get all these different types of body. Here Prabhupada's saying, here it says, King Puranjan assumed the body of a woman, Vaidarbhi, as a result of his sinful activity. So now he becomes a woman in his next life. Shriya Vaishya Tathā Shudra. So it says, he's such a body as a lowborn. So here is Vaidarbhi, a great king. He should have been a Raja Rishi. Unfortunately, he wasn't. He was just a Raja. So unfortunately he had to take his birth as a woman in his next life. But Krishna praises the kings. They are like representatives of God on earth. If they do their duty properly, then they can make everybody Krishna conscious. Raja Rishi, but unfortunately, he did his duty, he did his dharma, but he wasn't really into transcendence or bhakti. He was performing dharma very well. And as a result of performing his dharma, he ends up as a woman. So, this is the danger of being too Vedic, too dharmic. Just like the Brahmanas who They were too Vedic. The wives of the Brahmanas, they weren't so Vedic. They were more Bhakta, so they could surrender to belief. The Brahmanas, they were too Vedic. They were so hung up on their rituals and court that they missed the whole point that Krishna was out in the forest with his friends, hungry. They could have served them then, but they... So, you follow your Dharma absolutely perfectly. What is the result? You get an absolutely perfect body in the mode of goodness next life. So, you're not really solving the big problem of birth and death. You're simply... And you go round and round and round in the mode of goodness, you know, in the higher planets and higher forms of life, but who knows how long. But still, you're still in the material world. You've got your gold chains, shackles on, right? In the prison. But I got my gold shackles on. You've only got the iron shackles. So, this is how to enjoy them, which everybody thinks. I'm going along, it's pretty good. You know. Missing the strength. So it's designed like that, material world is designed like that. So, so simple. Then you, simple activities, you get a simple body. So he Prabhupada gives him this example. Woman. It's a lower birth, so it's said like a sinful birth. This is reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the woman's body is the greatest thing for us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us our identity. We're his followers. He's our hero. He's given us our identity. Gopi Pariya Kamala, Das, Das, Das. And we are servant of the master of the gopis. This is our identity as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Master of the gopis is Gopi Nath. So Gopi Nath becomes our Ishtadeva for the Gaudiyas. He's our worshipful deity, Gopi Nath. And our identity is Gopi Pariya Kamala, Das, Das, Das. We are servant of the servant of the servant. So there's the highest thing. The woman's body is the highest thing. We're aspiring to get that. In the material world, it's the other way around. Not such a good bargain. Woman, but there is the best. Reflected upside down. So, but as Prabhupada said, it's sinful birth. But even the so-called, if you're pious, and you perform all the dharmic activities perfectly, that is also sinful if you don't come to the point of surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada, he gave the definition of sin. What is a sin? Sinful birth. What is sin? That was his definition of sin. We can categorize in forms of low-born and high-born in this material world. You can make classifications of sinful and pious. But Prabhupada said that Krishna has given the definition of sin in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Savadanam parityaja. Mammi kam saranam. Aham tam sarva papibyo. Sinful. Papibyo. Moksha yishmi masvita. Give up all types of dharma. Give up all types of religion. In fact, give up everything I've spoken so far. And Krishna spoke a lot in Bhagavad Gita about all the different paths. Now he's saying, give it all up. I spent some time talking, but now I'm telling you, you give it all up. And just surrender to me, and I'll take away all the sinful activities. So Prabhupada said here, Krishna's given the definition of sin. That if you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take away all of your sin. That means if you don't surrender to Krishna, it's sinful. Whatever activity you're performing, if it's not done in the mood of surrender to Krishna, it's sinful. So even though it may be the topmost activity, dharmic activity, if it's not done in the mood of surrender to Krishna, it's also sinful. So to see the state of this world, how many people have surrendered to Krishna. So it's all sinful, you see, because they are not actually surrendering to Krishna. No? So, Krishna is the lawmaker. We have to abide by the laws of Krishna. Whatever he says is absolute. It cannot be changed. So he says, if you don't surrender to me, you're sinful. That's it. And if you do surrender to me, that's not sinful. So Krishna is the lawmaker, he's a lawbreaker. Today is the Katyayana Vrata. You know the story of how the young gopis went to perform one austerity, eating Havisham for 1 month, taking bath in Jamuna. Krishna came and took their clothes, said, come and get your clothes back. Seems like it's immoral, it seems like it's sinful, according to our estimation. But Krishna wasn't interested he was interested in their devotion, how they completely surrendered to Krishna. They come out and Krishna gave back their cloth. And Krishna was so pleased with their simplicity, with their devotion. That is what Krishna wants. And they sacrificed everything for Krishna, their families and everything, and their shyness, just to serve Krishna. Mahaprabhu said that there is no conception, there's no method of self-realization that's better than that process that was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan. They gave everything to Krishna. They gave up their shame, their shyness, everything, which is a difficult thing to do. So therefore Mahaprabhu has come to give that. The greatest form of surrender, to give an experience, how you can also associate with these greatest devotees of Krishna. Yeah, after all, our existence is to satisfy Krishna, to please Krishna. So if you really want to please Krishna, what does he really like? And he likes to be with his girlfriend. So let's serve him in that situation. Give Krishna what he likes best, not what I like or how I like to serve Krishna. What is Krishna? What's the best thing he likes? Okay, let me assist in serving to bring Krishna his greatest pleasure. So, yeah, so they completed that rata for 1 month. Of course, Radharani was there on the last day. That was when Krishna took the cloth. So they invited the other gopis. Can you please come? It's our last day, we celebrate. You can come with us, make it auspicious, you're older gopis. So then the Radharani and some of the older gopis came. Otherwise they were all young ones and they were always praying. God, this Katyayani, please make Krishna, the son of Nandamaraj, my husband. This is all our only prayer, please make him our husband. But of course, Radharani and the elderly gopis there, not so young gopis, they don't really want to marry Krishna because Krishna likes the pariki for us, not the swakya, so they want to please Krishna. So they want to remain unmarried, or at least not married to Krishna, because they know this brings him the greatest pleasure, pariki in us. So they want to serve him in that capacity. Anyway, Prabhupada, so they proved themselves the greatest of all the devotees. Shri Katyayana Ratiki Jai. श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय समवेत भक्तवृंद जय गुरु प्रेमानंदी थैंक यू हरे कृष्ण एनी क्वेश्चन फॉर मी यस सर बैक टाइम
Maybe you can say a little
can
more.
Can you repeat it, please?
Okay. In relationship with Bhishma Dev,
you mentioned Bhishma Dev.
Yeah. You mentioned Gauranga Bhakti and Krishna Bhakti.
Yeah.
So I'm a little puzzled. Are we supposed to make a choice, or both together, or can you say a little more on Gauranga Bhakti, maybe?
Gauranga Bhakti. Yeah. Gauranga is the Gauranga Bhakti. Bhakti means love, exchange of love. So we can engage in exchanging loving relations with Gauranga based on Harinam Sankirtan eternally and Bhakti based in Vrindavan with Krishna. That is in the Madhurya Rasa sweetness. So Navadvipa and Vrindavan are non-different. Krishna, Radha Krishna, Mahaprabhu are non-different. There's only this slight difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan. In Navadvip, we get the adoja. Adoja means generosity, giving. Vrindavan is madhurya, means very sweet. Krishna's pastimes are very, very sweet. Madhava, another meaning of madhur is deriving from madhu. The sweetest thing we can experience in the material world is honey. There's nothing sweeter than honey, the madhu. So Madhava is said, so it's called Madhava because this is the sweetest thing you can experience. Honey, madhu is the sweetest thing you can experience. He's even more sweeter than madhu. Therefore his name is Madhava. So that's based on the sweetness, madhujya. And Navadvip is adoja, generous, one of giving. It's giving that sweetness. Mahaprabhu came to experience that sweetness and also to give it. So Navadvipam is in the mood of giving that sweetness. Vrindavan is in the mood of experiencing that sweetness, relishing it. The sweetness is also fully present in Navadvip, but the adoja is more prominent. And the adoja is fully present in Vrindavan. The magnanimous magnanity is completely full there, but the madhurya becomes more prominent. So they're both Vrindavan and Navadvipa exactly. It's just a different mood. One is more prominent, the adhurya aspect of Mahabhadanaya. One wanting to give sweetness, and Vrindavan is madhurya, is the sweetness, it's relishing. This is the only difference between the two. And we shouldn't make any other difference. So you can get a body to serve as Gauranga Bhakta in the mood of adoja, giving that taste, or you can be in the have a form with Krishna also experiencing that sweetness.
They again start to act when they end up. Can you maybe explain? Because obviously when there was annihilation, there was Kali Yuga, and they were highly impious, the Jivas. And when they start to act, as highly pious Jivas. How is that possible?
I'm sorry?
when there was annihilation of the universe, there was probably Kali Yuga. So Jivas are highly impious. And when they start to act at the beginning of creation, they start to act in Satyuga, which is a highly pious age. How is this possible?
Oh yeah, because Kalki comes and kills everyone. They get killed by Krishna. They are very pious. Even the demons get liberation when they're killed by Krishna. So he comes and kills because all their sin is gone. They become very pious. get born in Satyuga.
Is there a Kali Yuga on higher planets?
Is there an influence of Kali Yuga on higher planets? And if then you could say, if they were all killed and they're pious, why wouldn't they go? Why would they take birth here? Why wouldn't they go up to the higher planets? I guess that's two questions.
I think it's Kali Yuga, but there's much less influence in the higher planetary systems. I think it's that they're all pervading, aren't they? That's why I understood the yugas throughout the universe. Was there another question?
If they're killed by Kalki, why wouldn't they go to take their next birth on higher planets, or even attain Brahman?
Why would they?
Why wouldn't they?
Oh, why wouldn't they?
Or do they?
I've forgotten. Been through it so many times, but I can't remember. There's a king, it mentions in the ninth canto, talking about the Suja dynasty. And then it gradually gets that last of those kings, he goes off and he meditates, there's no more dynasty. He lives, he's still alive, he lives. And when the next, after the Kali Yuga, then he comes out of his meditation and he's got that Suja, that blood that from the sun god, from the Suja dynasty. So then he starts the dynasty, the Suja dynasty up again. But he still lives, he lives throughout the whole yuga.
You spoke about self-realization, three levels of self-realizations. So my question is that sometimes Prabhupada says without self-realization one cannot get God realizations. But also always in this material body in Kali Yuga it is difficult to be self-realized. Practically, as long as the body is there, the material desires will be there, you know it. So, is it God realization also possible without self-realization?
Is God realization possible without self-realization? Yeah. To understand Brahman, one has to become Brahman. Eh? To enter fire, one has to become fire. But, if you remember Krishna, oh, you mean... the saving grace is we remember Krishna at the time of leaving the body. You're talking about before we leave the body, is it? Okay, in the material world. generally we see it, but you know they attain perfection when they leave the body. What was your
actual question? Yeah, as long as the material body is there, there are going to be material desires and bodily identification is there till the time we leave our body also. So, if we have to be self-realized to realize Krishna, then it seems like a so difficult thing.
Well, this is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. When we, like we're discussing self-realization and things like that, and Krishna discusses also so many processes in Bhagavad Gita, so we take advantage of them according to time and circumstance, whatever we need. We take advantage of these different processes
Krishna's given. Otherwise, there is let's see. That is 20 items of knowledge Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. He gives. Accepting the importance of self-realization, philosophical search for the absolute truth, and acceptance of the importance of self-realization. So, Jagatak Maharaj is giving a class. So out of these 20 items, which is more important? I said, accepting the importance of philosophical search for the absolute, accepting the importance of self-realization. Because without self-realization, how can you realize anything? He said, no. I said, no? I thought that was most important. No, but for devotees, it's not very important. Self-realization, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given it in one sentence. Jivesa Rupai Nitya Krishna Das. I know I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. This is self-realization. And philosophical search for the absolute truth. Prabhupada said Krishna is the supreme person. Mataha Nanyat Kinchidasi Dananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. If there's no truth superior, that's the absolute truth. So Krishna is saying, I'm the absolute. So philosophical search for the absolute truth. Krishna says, Prabhupada said Krishna is the supreme person of Godhead. You've already understood the philosophical search for the absolute truth. You've understood the importance of self-realization. You've really understood. Jiva Sarupa Nitya Krishna Das, and Krishna is the supreme person. So what? They're not much value. Assumes you can learn these in one day. What the yogis and gyanis are taking bao nam jamana thousands and thousands of births to understand. You can understand in one moment by hearing from the devotee. So they're not so important. The important one there is accepting Krishna as your one's own shelter. That's the most important aspect. But so it's not really important. But sometimes we take shelter. We need them when we have some difficulties. We find some being attacked by some aspect of the material energy. Then you can utilize these processes of meditation, self-understanding in the self. So in the beginning, they're useful. Gyan yoga, Ashtanga yoga, etc. Karma yoga, it's useful in the beginning. Varnashram, it's useful. But it's because of our attachments to the material world. The whole purpose of all these other processes that Krishna is speaking is because we are still attached to this idea of being the controller and enjoy it. So our control through Jnana Yoga, through Ashtanga Yoga, through Varnashram, through meditation, through I control, then I'll get to and I'll understand the Supreme Lord, then I'll enjoy it. Because we're attached to that attached. So Krishna gives, okay, you're trying to approach spiritual life, you're trying to understand what is spiritual life. Okay, so use this process and then slowly you'll come to me. But Krishna doesn't want that. Because at the end he says, give up all that nonsense processes I've taught you, Gyan Yoga, Ashtanga. Give it all up, it's all nonsense. But you surrender to me. Why it's nonsense? Because I'm still holding on that conception that I'm the controller. I'll control my senses, I'll control my mind, I'll control it. Okay, so give up that damn controlling nonsense dharma. They're all these dharmas are for that controlling. So you're giving them all up. You're still hanging on to them. So what can we do? It's useful sometimes in our conditioned state. We take shelter, but ultimately it's still that desire to be the controller, still imitate Krishna. Do it my way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda Purusha.
Here, take, we're giving freely. Everybody's looking for happiness. Whatever you do in life is for happiness. There's nothing else. Everybody's got the same goals. So you're after happiness. Here, take this happiness. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The greatest happiness you can even imagine. It's much greater. Some people took, some people didn't take. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let's analyze why they didn't take. What made them unfortunate? They were unfortunate because they were proud of their own intelligence. I'll do it my way. I'll be the control. Yeah, it's there, but I'll get it through my way. And they're saying, just take it. That's all you've got to do. You take it and chant Hare Krishna. I'll do it my way. I'll do it through this. They're proud of their intelligence. So this is the situation. But what can we do? We have these attachments. We're still holding on to this desire to be the controller. It's Krishna's position. He's the controller. This is from time immemorial we've had this. What can we do? It's so deep-rooted. The bhakti gets born in the spiritual world, in the family of gopas and gopis. He sees Krishna, he has association with Krishna calls for the rasa, and some couldn't go. Why? The explanation, of course, everything is pure. There may have been, if there was any remnants of material piety or material impiety. And it like that was all burnt up at that time. They couldn't go to the Rasleela. So they just meditated on Krishna. And the ecstasy they felt, so much ecstasy and happiness, if there was any karma, good karma, which means happiness, result of good karma, then that was all used up by the ecstasy of embracing Krishna in their heart. And their separation from not being able to go Krishna Sankirtan is so painful that for all the bad, if there was any bad reaction coming from bad karma, then that was also completely destroyed by that pain of separation. So the good pious activity and all the impiety was all burned up by that. Anyway, next time they can go to the Rastans. Anyway, the idea is that you get a body, you're through it, there's still maybe a little bit. But to become 100% pure is really not possible, especially if you've got a material body. The example is you burn the camphor, put some camphor in, little camphor, no? But everything is completely finished. You look, there's nothing. A little bit of scent remains. So to become 100% pure is really not possible as long as you've got a material body. So sometimes this tendency to be the enjoys, it comes out. So Krishna gives all these different processes. But if we fully absorb ourselves in devotional service through Guru, understanding that we are, there is a big distance called the material world in between us and Krishna. It's a pretty big covering in my conditioned state. But by the grace of Guru, if we go through Guru, we take shelter of the lotus feet of the devotee of Krishna, then we can connect. So if we completely absorb ourselves in devotional service under the guidance of Guru, then that is spiritual world. This is the spiritual world. We may not be feeling Krishna's experience, Krishna's understanding. That service is actually being accepted by Krishna. He may relish it. We may not be able to fully appreciate the feelings behind it, but it's actually that the whole spiritual world is here. And Prabhupada confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, I have heard this, Sanjaya, I have heard this message, Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, I heard by the grace of my spiritual master, I've heard through the grace of Vyasadeva, my spiritual master, I'm about to hear this. So he's admitting by the grace of Guru, he could actually see the conversation of Bhagavad Gita and understand it. And in the purple, Srila Prabhupada says, he said, this is in the science of Krishna consciousness, he said, this aspect of going through guru, taking shelter of guru, he said, this is, the guru is the transparent via media. It means, like I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing that Sankirtan building there. I don't see the window actually, I see the Sankirtan building. Eh? So that's transparent by media, looking through. I'm looking through the window, I'm seeing the object, I don't really see the window, I see the... Guru is like that, he's like that transparent by media, he's like the mirror, like the window. And when you're serving, looking, serving through Guru, offering service through Guru, then actually you're, what your Prabhupada says in that purport, he said, yes, yeah, so this way, in this way, by going through Guru, the transparent via media, going through Guru, one can approach Krishna. So that we understand the philosophy, then we have to go through Guru, we're understanding that. But then Prabhupada says in that purport, he said, but the experience is direct. The philosophy and the system, the approach is we have to take shelter of a Guru, we have to approach a pure devotee, and through him our service is being offered up to Krishna. But he said, when you're absorbed in that, he said, it is a direct experience. At that time you're not seeing Guru or analyzing or thinking of Guru, I'm serving Krishna through Guru, through the no, you're just, that you know, you're absorbed in your service. And then Prabhupada said, the experience is direct. And he said, this is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. So it can be direct. This is a mystery. It's similar in, well, when we do Acharya Puja. You do the preliminary processes. This Abhigama, Upadana Abhigama, Yoga, Ija, Svadhyaya. There's five kinds of steps. Gathering all the items of worship, purifying them, spiritualizing them, etc. Meaning yourself, cloth, clothes, everything is clean. And then spiritualizing all the articles. Then yoga, you move into the yoga aspect. Then you've got like... understanding your identity, servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and the animal, meditating on Namkirtan, Guru, Dhyan, meditating on Guru, meditating on Garanga, Panchatattva in the jog pit, Guru is sitting at their lotus feet, place of perfection, Manasapuja. Dhyanam is passive, the Manasapuja is active, you're actually worshipping in your mind. So that's all like your yoga. If you want, you can do your pranayama before and everything. It's all a build-up. So when you come to Israel, worshipping the deity itself, then you've already got that finer conception. Everything is pure, externally everything is purified, spiritualized. Internally, you do it by your meditation and your Manasapuja and things like that, it becomes purified. So now when you serve the deity, you're not thinking, you know, it's just another article like my lotus and any material thing. No, you've got that conception that, no, Krishna is, the deity is actually Krishna himself. So then you start to serve your deity. So at that time you forget all the yoga, your analytical understanding of what's actually happening, you're serving through Guru and the meditation and dhyanam. Okay, that's finished, the yoga aspect. Now it's Ija. Now you just bring down the Lord, bring your worship to the Lord, and you just serve Him to your heart's content. And so factually, at that time, you're serving Krishna. You are directly serving Krishna. Kapila Muni says, imperceptible liberation. You're simply absorbed in. And he said, this is a neophyte. The neophyte comes to the temple. He sees the deity. Oh, beautiful dress. Look at those lovely flowers. He's really appreciating it. And Prabhupada said he's imperceptibly liberated at that time. Of course, the moment he turns his head away, he's somewhere else. No, but at that time, Prabhupada using this word, imperceptible liberation. So it's like that. You've done all your philosophy, and you're looking, you understand, you're going, but at that time, Guru disappears. And you see your worshipful Lord, and it's me and Krishna. But that's what Guru wants. That's the whole idea, right? International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's what Guru wants, to awaken your relationship with Krishna. It's not the International Society for Guru Consciousness. But the dhyanam is there, the meditation is there. That is the process. We have to go through. So in that way it becomes direct. You are directly serving Krishna. Like indeed you are directly serving Krishna. Now you finished. Now you want to analyze what's happening. Were you serving Krishna? Or was it Guru? Was it Guru going through Guru? Who is actually serving Krishna? Who did the puja? I thought I did. Or did Guru do it? Then you analyze. Then you won't understand. Because you come out of bhakti, you go back into Shankhya. Analytical, you're analyzing, you won't understand. But when you finish your analyzing, then you actually worship the deity. Just a total absorption in serving the deity. Then that is direct worship. Now we're discussing it after what's actually happening there. We can come to the conclusion that, actually Guru does it, he goes through the parampara. I'm not doing the puja. Because you're out of bhakti. You're back into Shankhya, analyzing. But at that moment, you're actually absorbed. The Guru becomes like the glass. You don't see the glass, you just see Krishna in it. So Prabhupada said, this is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. So it can be direct, it's instantaneous, and we see it right now also. And we can pick it up simply by that total absorption. But due to our conditioning, then sometimes we can't do it. So we take shelter of other things, again, another controlling process. So we take help from it. Knowledge, yoga, some. This ultimately Krishna says. So according to our conditioned nature, will. But we should understand that it is a meaning problem. This is, you read that purport. This is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. He said it's true, the perception is direct. You are direct. Can we pick Tulsi? Can we pick Tulsi on Tulsi Shalagram Vibaha or her appearance day? Also, kindly clarify on what occasions one is not supposed to pick Tulsi Maharani from Brahmananda Purvas. Pick Tulsi on this Tulsi Shalagram Vibaha, the marriage of Tulsi Shalagram, is on a Purnima. According to Hari Bhakti Vilas, you shouldn't pick Tulsi on the Purnima, Amavasya, or Dwadasi. But the Gaudiyas say don't follow so all of those. It's interference with the service. So they just follow one time. On the Dwadasi, they don't pick the Tulsi. On what occasions one is not supposed to pick Tulsi Maharani? Prabhupada told me you should pick in the morning, not at night. Dwadasi. What occasions? Nighttime. Yesterday was Tulsi Shalagram Vibaha, marriage of Tulsi. We have a night. Anyway. Thank you very much. Thank you.